Coast to coast on the World Wide Web, this is Trot Radio on standardbredcanada.ca. Norm Borg with you from the home office at Rideau-Carlton Raceway. You know, handicappers are always looking for any angle possible to give them the edge when you're at the track. Meadowlands Racetrack is coming up with another bit of information that's going to help do that. We're going to talk to the man behind the microphone, Sam McKee, on this edition of Trot Radio. Sam McKee, the track announcer and media director of Meadowlands, is with us on the other end of my line to talk about one of the new handicapping angles that they're introducing at the Big M. Sam, welcome to Trot Radio.
Well, thank you very much, Norm. I appreciate you having me.
Driver's choices, any handicapper will tell you, is a big angle in trying to determine which horse you're going to go with, because in my particular case as a handicapper, I've never sat behind a horse in a harness race. I'm going to defer to Brian Sears to decision, say.
I would agree with that, and that information has been available on our website if you were willing to do some work. If you looked at the entries when they were first posted and saw, for instance, George Brennan might be listed on three horses in the first race, and then when the changes were updated after scratch time, if you were willing to put in the work, you could kind of decipher who Brennan's choice was. By adding these graphics to our racing simulcast broadcast, it'll make the information available to everybody that may not have had the time to do that homework or whatever. And we'll see. It seems like some useful information. We've had a lot of requests for it. Just because a driver chooses a horse doesn't necessarily mean the horse he chooses off won't beat that one.
True.
But it does give you a pretty good indication who certain drivers opted to go for. And you kind of have to read between the lines. Mm-hmm. Do they want to drive for a bigger stable over a lesser stable, or, you know, is it a long-term sort of thing with the horse, first start back off a layoff? But most guys will tell you they pick the horse most of the time that they think has the best chance of winning.
Now, you work the T-bred side as well, and you know, I've noticed with the T-bred handicappers, there's a number of angles they use, and I don't know why we don't use the same here. You know, the fans do want quick information, and the kind of information they can get on a formulator web from DRF is perhaps the kind of stuff we could use. For example, trainer-driver combos, you know, the winning percentage, let's say.
And I also believe, Norm, that the more nuggets of information that are available to handicappers, the better your chance of winning. You know, that's what handicapping comes down to, is just digesting all the information at your fingertips and going with your instincts and what your thoughts are. And the more ammunition you have in the gun, the easier it is to pull the trigger and perhaps cash a bet.
I'm surprised that there isn't a website, there isn't a service, be it part of, say, the USTA website or even Standardbred Canada, that wouldn't offer that kind of information. For example, early in the stakes season, pedigree handicapping becomes, to me anyway, a very important factor. I've cashed some nice tickets based on track records of stallions that have produced horses that have won, say, first time out, second time out, third time out. Is there any kind of service like that in the U.S.? Because I know we don't have it up here.
Not that I'm aware of for harness racing, and there's also certain trainers that usually have their horses cranked up and ready to roll early,
right.
And there are other trainers that like to take their time with their two-year-olds especially and put a start or two under their belt, more an education-type start. I think a great case in point is Muscle Hill. His only career loss came in his first start,
yeah,
in a New Jersey Sire Stakes.
And he could have won that, too.
Oh, for fun,
yeah,
where he raced from off the pace, and the idea was to get him a good acclimating educational experience. If he won, great, but certainly they weren't going to gut the horse in that first race just to have an undefeated record.
That's where that information comes in handy in terms of determining, say, trainer's intent and the pattern that a trainer has with first-time starters. Some are more aggressive than others. You know.
Right, without question. But I'm sure somebody will come up with that data sooner or later. You know, Norm, every single aspect of handicapping and the edges people had, it seems like they've gone away. For instance, in the old days of televising racing where the camera just showed the first two or three horses,
right,
and there was no split screen, people that were at the track and actually watching the races had a huge advantage over people watching it on television because they could see what was happening in the race, where the other horses were. Then that went away, and now race replays are available everywhere. Same with almost all the data out there now. It's just a mouse click away on the computer, and I wouldn't be surprised going forward that we'll see some people come up with similar stance to what the thoroughbreds offer.
You know, you're right. In the meantime, if you're willing to do the homework, you can get this information. And, you know, in all fairness, I can tell you that, and I don't know if you've been on the site at all, but the Track It program on Standardbred Canada, it may not give you ROIs and, you know, trainer-driver combos, but you can distill that information if you're prepared to do the work. Now, somebody's going to come up with a program that's going to put that at their fingertips like a formulator web, and I think that'll be a big help. What's a racing scene like in New Jersey these days, Sam? What's the morale like over at the Big M? You've got a governor that the standardbred industry worked hard to get elected. One day he's all in favor of bringing VLTs to racetracks. The next day, maybe not so much. You've got the president of the Senate saying, no way am I going to allow VLTs outside of Atlantic City. How do you keep positive in all that?
Well, it's certainly never boring, Norm. Let's put it that way. You know, there's so much political posturing right now. Who really knows how things are going to turn out in the long run? Most people are optimistic that Governor Christie has said that he will do what he can to make the industry viable. He did not say exactly how he'd do it. How things will shake out, it's anybody's guess right now, but at least we're addressing the situations and getting the people that, you know, we need to get together and discuss the options. And I think in the long run, it's probably going to shake out okay. And until something actually does happen or doesn't happen, there's really no use worrying about it. You know, I worked at Ladbrokes DRC in Michigan, which used to be Wolverine Raceway. It was a thoroughbred track at that time. There were rumors that we'd close every year until we got full card simulcasting. And you could just worry yourself sick about it. But bottom line, nobody really knows what's going to happen and how it's going to play out. And at least the ball is rolling, and we'll see where it lands. And Norm, you asked about the racing so far in New Jersey. We've had excellent racing so far this meet. We haven't seen too many track biases, which is great. Horses are coming from off the pace and winning. There's been pretty good flow to races. We've seen a lot more lead changes in the middle half, that sort of thing. And the racing so far has been really good. Now, we restructured our schedule this year to race less days once Chester opens. And Harris Chester is also racing one less day a week, too. So basically that's 22 to 25 less races that will have to be filled between those two tracks when Chester gets going in April. And we think that will help our horse supply, which was a big key for us last year.
Distillization, if I can use that term, has been the buzzword for a long time in this industry, where we're thinking now that less is more. It may well be the case.
Without question. I've always had this thought in the back of my mind, and I don't think it will come to fruition because you're talking about two different jurisdictions. But let's say in Pennsylvania that Chester would race for 4 months, Pocono would race for 4 months, and the Meadowlands would race for 4 months. We could develop a super circuit. Basically, our purses have now doubled, so our minimum purse is now around 22,000, let's say. Our regular opens are going to go for anywhere from 80 to 85,000. If we had a standard wagering format, obviously a standard takeout rate, Pennsylvania takeouts are drastically high. They'd have to come down and be in line with a normal takeout rate. The same graphics, maybe you hire one racing office, one central racing office with the best people you can find, the best TV production you can put together, and basically consolidate operations. You could develop a super circuit, and maybe you could attract gamblers' attention. If you've got full fields of the best horses, the best trainers, the best drivers consistently presented, there's a chance that it could succeed. And it seems like we need to consolidate, especially schedule-wise, and try to make it attractive for everybody. I mean, does it really do anybody any good to have the eliminations for the Adios the same day as the Oliver Wendell Holmes? You know what I'm saying? There's just got to be a way to schedule some of these races a little better, and maybe to combine something. I mean, you know, take your big race at Harrington, take a big race at Chester, and a big race at the Meadowlands, and maybe there's a bonus for winning all three or something along those lines. I mean, I think we've got to look at things from a different perspective. I do agree less is more. You got to have a product. If you don't have a good wagering product, there's nobody out there going to bet, because we're up against the thoroughbred industry and there's too many tracks with full fields and what's perceived as better wagering opportunities. And obviously pool size is a big determining factor too. So I think it's time for the industry to look outside the box, to look at maybe changing things up a little bit and roll the dice a little bit, because to stand pat is to go bankrupt and to be extinct.
It is always a pleasure talking to you, Sam McKee. You are an editor's dream. Continued success. Good luck with the new, let's say, project, as it were, with the driver's choices. Who knows? We may see some other nuggets of handicapping angles in the near future. All the best.
Well, Norm, I appreciate it greatly, and thanks for your time.